All right, well, let's get things rolling here. My name is Scott Gessler, and as the Secretary of State's office, thanks for joining us. With me is Rich Wabakind as well at the Business Research Division at the Leeds School of Business at the University of Colorado Boulder. That's a lot to fit on your business card, Rich. But so thanks very much for joining us. I'm just going to say a few introductory comments, what we're doing, what this is all about, and I'll turn it over to Rich for some more detail as well, and then we're happy to answer any questions that you might have. So what this is the first of the Secretary of State's Quarterly Business and Economic Indicators Report. And we've worked, obviously, we're working in very closely with the Business Research Division at CU. But let me just explain very quickly sort of how this came about. We as the Secretary of State's office sit on, we sit on an ocean of data. There's a lot of different, a lot of information that we receive, new business filings, dissolutions, trade names, trademark registrations, lien registrations, things like that. And what we wondered was, you know, what does this all mean in the aggregate? Is there anything, any way to make sense of it? Now, we don't have economists certainly on staff here at the Secretary of State's office, so we reached out to Rich and his folks at the Business Research Division and asked for their help in trying to make sense of this data to see whether or not there was any sort of gold or worthwhile information in here that businesses and public policy leaders could use to help make better decisions and understand what's going on in the state of Colorado. So they looked at the information, they combined it with some other data sets, and found some great correlations, particularly between new business formation and employment. And we'll talk about that in a sec, but what I just want to say very quickly is what our goal here is at the Secretary of State's office is to publish this quarterly, and of course you're seeing the very first quarterly report, but we want to publish this quarterly so that people have additional tools that they can use to make good information, to make good decisions, whether it's whether or not to employ someone, hire a new person, whether to expand a business. Hopefully this can help them out. We're publishing this for free. It's no cost. The information we have is, the way I look at it, owned by the people of the state of Colorado already. And so what we've done is try to make sense of it by using, frankly, some of the leading economists here in the state of Colorado to be able to look at this and provide good information. So with that, what I'm going to do is turn it over to Rich Wabakind and let him talk a little bit about the contents of the report, some of the conclusions we've been able to draw, and what it shows about the state of Colorado.
So let me start, and if anybody wants to jump in, you can feel free to do so. I think I pretty much know all the people on the line. Well, we were asked to look through the potential correlations, as Secretary just explained to you, looking literally hundreds and hundreds of thousands of observations. And the data actually for the Secretary of State's office goes all the way back to 1900, but how easy it is to track it and match it and so on is relatively difficult. And so we just went back the last 5 years in terms of developing the models that we are using here or presenting here. We looked at a lot of different data sources, as was mentioned. In particular, we looked at trademark filings, dissolution filings, trade name filings. Some of the data, all of that data is presented and will be presented in this quarterly indicator report, but we really couldn't find any strong correlations testing against just a myriad of other economic indicators. So a lot of sort of background work to tell you that only a couple of things surfaced as really valuable in terms of forecasting ability in terms of adding information that we don't know. But it turns out that the new entity filings actually add a lot of information about the forward forecast of employment in the state. In fact, just that single variable by itself had a 63% correlation going forward 4 months in terms of the employment situation. and ultimately we combine that with the previous employment data in a multiple, a pretty simple multiple regression model, which has over 90% predictive power going forward in terms of employment situation. So the one sort of critical piece of additional information is we're actually using new business formation in the state to sort of add precision, if you will, to short-term forecasting out to 6 months, really out to 6 months. We can take it out further and maybe we'll take it out further in the future, but at this point it has pretty good precision to adding overall to the six-month time frame. And if you have the release in front of you, I hope that you all do. One thing that I think is fairly striking just from a visual is if you look at the graph on the bottom of the first page, the new entity filings dropped off significantly before the actual employment dropped off in this last recession. So it would have given us a little bit of an indication ahead of time that the drop was coming. It was a nice leading indicator, if you will, of the drop in employment. And so we feel pretty good about that because finding turning points is relatively difficult in economic forecasting. And this seems to be a pretty good indicator of the turning point. In addition, going back to the Secretary's comments, the last two pages, the people on the call are familiar with a lot of this data and have seen it in other places, but we did a compilation of a lot of economic indicators for both Colorado and the nation on the last page. And again, this product is designed to help business people make business owners and business decision makers give them better information for decision making. So not only do you have the information that directly comes out of the Secretary of State's database being reported quarterly, but we have other information added on there as well. So I think that's what I have to say up front, but I'm happy to obviously take questions or talk about other things.
Well, let me break the silence just for one moment and then say a last thing about where we're going with this. Obviously, we're going to be publishing this on a quarterly basis. But one of the other things we're going to continue to do is, see to what extent we can refine this analysis, see if there's any other variables or any other correlations that we can identify over time, and hopefully build this out, maybe make it a more robust report than it is already. But our goal, I think, is always to try and see what we can do to improve this and provide better information as well. So this is a great start. We're going to keep at it, and maybe we'll find some more. Hopefully we will. But at a minimum, it looks as though this adds some real value to the ability of people to make good decisions.
So
that's
it.
Any questions?
Yeah, Rich, this is Aldo. I had a question on – I forgot it already. I'm sorry. This idea, our labor force is about the same as where it was before the financial crisis. Is your sense that people are starting entities or starting businesses, as a response to lack of job opportunities? Or?
So this is an interesting question. We haven't studied it for this recession, Aldo, but we have done this study in the past. We looked at new business formation after, during, and following recessions, and we definitely had the sense in those the data seemed to indicate sort of the surge in new entity filing. So someone winds up losing their job at a tech company and said, "I always had this idea anyway," and the opportunity cost is relatively low in this environment. So my sense is yes, this data, we can't get anything out of the data that specifically says that, but my sense is definitely that there's more businesses being formed as people, they form independent consulting businesses of nothing else as they, try to sustain some level of income.
Mm-hmm. So they wouldn't show up in the unemployment counts because they've started an entity. They would consider themselves employed. Or
right.
Gainfully.
Right, right. Yep.
And are most of these businesses, they tend to have a payroll of one, that's my sense, but I guess there are a few that do hire, that do grow. But there's no way in this data set to figure out what share of those are actually adding employees. Or...
Right. So I mean, there's technically there is a way to do that. It is extremely time intensive, and this is where not many states are using this data. As far as we know, there's only really one other state that's really making a serious effort. We did kind of a background check when we were first had preliminary discussions on this to see what other people were doing, and we also surveyed people who run research centers like ours, and they told us that a couple of them had tried to do things, but when they matched it with the state employment data, they had just a nightmare over time and could never really match it up with the individual firm data that the Colorado Department of Labor and Employment would have. So to answer your question, although that's the only way I think we could get at that, and it would take a long time, and I'm not sure how precise it would be, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
This is Ben Marcus with Colorado Public Radio. So I guess I look at the left side of that the first page, and all the arrows are pointing up and green, and that, I guess that means the next quarter is going to look pretty good according to the data you have now.
Yeah, so the green is good, whether the direction of the arrow is up or down. The concept here is, like the unemployment arrow is down. The left-hand part of that column is historical, and then the right-hand is sort of what's coming out in terms of the employment forecast. If you look down below, you see what we're sort of based on the arrows up above. The arrows up above, again, are all basically historical. The down below is the forecast point. So we're saying Q2 versus Q1, and then we're saying down below Q3 versus Q3 2011. So for both of those quarters coming up, we're suggesting that employment's going to be higher than the quarter a year ago, the year-over-year sorts of change. You can see sort of in the chart on the right, the employment growth is at least from what we're seeing, is not dramatic over the next two time periods. But if you follow the data closely, we know there was a big revision in that January employment data. So part of why that you see the little bit of a blip there on the screen is the employment revisions in January. But we still, model's still indicating positive growth over the next 6 months.
Okay.
Anyone else?
This is Heather with the DBJ, and I was just wondering, you crunched a lot of other data here, and I'm just wondering, the dissolution filings, the trade name filings, what does all that mean?
What does it mean?
Yeah, as far as you said that we only a couple of things were really valuable in terms of our forecasting ability. Are those some of those things, or was it just two other things? I'm just not sure what those mean, because I was looking at them and I didn't know what they meant as far as your forecasting ability.
Well, they're not in the forecasting model. Let me take it on this side. I don't know if the secretary wants to tell you what their technical definition is. The data, especially the dissolutions, tends to be more chaotic. And I don't have a really good explanation, but you tend to see a lot more wild variations on these quarter over quarter, and so in what we're showing is year over year change, and so really weren't able to get any good correlations with any of the things we're trying to work with looking at this, and we haven't been able, Secretary mentioned, as we had more and more observations, we're going to rerun these things and see, can we get better model fit, can we tease something else out. But at this point, we just don't get any good correlations using those data series. We still think it's useful to be, looking at it, and obviously it's more information, but in terms of forecasting ability, it's not really helping us at this point.
Okay.
Yeah, and I can speak a little, for example, the disillusions. Those are a little bit lagging as far as indicators, because someone may, and as far as reporting information, because someone may, stop doing business, but their business itself may not be dissolved for 9 months or maybe 2 years while they're finishing winding things down or doing some final tax returns. Or they may just not pay a whole lot of attention to it for a while until they have a year-end report or an issue that they have to take care of. So, so that's an example of maybe some of the that's an example of how the dissolutions don't necessarily provide a real-time measurement of what's going on in the economy where the new business filing is probably a little bit different. You know, people aren't going to go through the trouble to create a new business simply to leave it there. Usually they're going to do something with it, or they're going to at least try to do something with it. So that's why the, you know, one example of how the dissolutions aren't, you know, quite as effective at showing us real-time information, and, you know, it's tougher to tease out any patterns or value out of those. But we'll keep trying.
Scott, could you talk about the other entity types? Because LLCs and corporations and nonprofits are kind of understandable, but what is in that other category?
So the other entity types are things like partnerships. We just launched a new one called Limited Cooperative Associations. So stuff like that. It's really a collection of, I think about a half dozen type of entities, some which are very rarely used. And we sort of group those together because the numbers are pretty small the numbers are pretty small when you compare them to LLCs and corporations and things like that. And then the other thing you can see in here that Rich and I chatted a little bit about is just the real growth in LLCs over time, and how the corporations, the use of corporate form is waning. It's shrinking a little bit over time, whereas LLCs are substantially growing.
Even over the 5-year, the 5-year compounded annual growth for liability, LLCs is positive, and for corporations minus 9% annual growth rate. So just reinforcing that with the actual numbers. And I think, I'll say this, I'm not asking the secretary to say this, but I have to think that it has to do with, Sarbanes-Oxley, and maybe even with Dodd-Frank, in terms of the regulatory environment is making LLCs have more flexibility. And so I think the regulatory environment is maybe changing the way people think about, forming their business legally.
Is there a size issue involved? I mean, do LLCs eventually become corporations, as they get to a certain size?
I can speak to that a little bit. Not necessarily. I mean, huge publicly traded companies are generally corporations. But as far as the numbers of companies, that's a pretty small number. I would not be surprised if, sort of smaller companies tend to skew more heavily towards LLCs rather than, closely held corporations or subchapter S. But I don't have any data on that except some personal experience as an attorney.
Mm-hmm. And Scott, do you collect any industry segment data, or when they register, is there anything that asks them to indicate what field of business they're in?
The answer is currently we do not. We've tossed around the idea of asking people perhaps to voluntarily give us that information, but we've not asked for it. I don't know if we will or not in the future, but, if we were able to have a pretty complete data set, then we'd be able to make some, draw some more conclusions. But at this point, we don't. And it's not required by statute either.
So this was a point of discussion, and I don't mind sort of answering this. This is a point of discussion of could we or would that add something? Obviously, although it would add something. You're already asking people, businesses to pay money, and it's a regulated thing. And the question is, how much more onerous do you want it to be? I'm speaking for myself here, not for the secretary. So, you always have that question. But obviously, if you really got good industry level information, that would be really helpful. This gives us the broad sweep. It doesn't give us the specifics of a lot more going on in manufacturing, or a lot more going on in construction, or a lot less going on in construction, for example.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what are the plans for distribution? Will this go out to people in your database that have registered, or do you have some format for?
The answer is yes. We're publishing it on our website. We're going to electronically distribute it. We'll notify people of its availability, our customers as well by email, and obviously this. So we're hoping that this will be able to get as broad of a coverage as possible. This, because hopefully people will find this valuable. So the answer is our goal is to distribute this pretty widely.
Okay.
All right. Well, anything else? Okay. Well, seeing no other questions, I want to thank everyone for coming on the phone here. You're welcome to give me a call here at the office if you ever have any other questions. And Rich, I'm guessing you're available as well, but I don't want
absolutely
to speak for you. But thank you very much. And again, if you look through this and if you have specific questions or thoughts or ideas, please reach out to us. I want to emphasize that we're trying hard to provide some good, valuable services to Colorado businesses and Colorado's leaders, and we always want to look for ways to improve this and make it better. So I hope this is valuable now, and I hope it's even more valuable in the future. So thank you, everyone, for coming, and with that, we'll wrap it up.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.